to another chat on Awakenings, Chapter 6, Finding Worth, Be True to You. So Chapter 5 is reflecting the key to change. So Chapter 6, Finding Worth and Be True to You, that is exactly what reflecting ultimately does, leads to. And that's the point of reflecting, is finding worth within yourself and becoming true to yourself. It's interesting because I was walking in the shops with my son today, and we don't wear masks. And this could be a controversial topic, because we're talking about the people that went along with the government in Germany, how through fear and just going along and believing what Hitler was saying. And I know there's this different story to what actually happened and who's to say what's what. Yep. People believe the government in Germany, and I've heard other views on what actually happened with the war and who's to say I wasn't there. But I just know that typically history is written by the victors. And the point that I'm making is that there's people that reflect on Germany and go, there's no way I'd do that. I wouldn't have gone along with any of this sort of stuff and taken away people's rights or went along with anything. And I said to my son today, I went, look at all these people wearing a mask. And I get that if you don't wear a mask in shops and things, you lose your job. So I can understand, go along with it from that point of view, because we need money. And I know we've spoken about friends that we know and family that have taken the jab to support family and taking one for the team, so to speak. And if you believe in it, so be it. But it's about freedom of choice, and without forcing anyone to do anything. So I said to my son, look at all the people wearing masks that don't have to, and they're walking around through fear of the government. So they conform. It's different if you're actually believing COVID and you're fearing it and you believe masks work, like some people do. And if it makes you feel safe, then you're better off wearing it if it makes you feel safe. But there's a lot of scientific points of views that say they don't work. And yeah, I wonder, because I remember reading a post where it said, well, a fart can get through a pair of undies and pants and everything else, like a smell, then what good's the, how can I stop a virus, you know? So funny, the things we remember. Anyway. So the reason I go there, if you're wearing a mask because you believe it's the way to go, then power to you. But if you're wearing it to conform, then you're not being honest with yourself. And I feel that in more areas we are deceiving ourselves, the more suffering we bring into our life. I know this through experience. So from growing up and pretending things are another way, or just ignoring things within myself, or sacrificing my feelings for the sake of another's that's suffering or confused or whatever's going on. So often we sacrifice our own integrity. And this is all stemmed from reading the start of Chapter 6, Finding Worth, Be True to You, without even going into it.
Just adding.
Yeah, but it's profound. The more areas we can stand up within ourselves and be honest with ourselves and have the courage to be honest. If you don't believe in masks, you can get exemptions from human rights advocates. And it's not a doctor's one, because it's almost impossible to get a doctor's exemption, but it passes, and I've never had an issue with that. So passports are another thing. That's something else. I truly feel if you believe in something, find support and backup, give you the confidence going forward to follow your belief, and you will find a deeper sense of freedom. And it's amazing that the more you follow your own truth, the more free you become. The more free you become, the more you see other people around you falling into subservience. The more we become subservient, the greater we suffer. That's just how it is. So it takes courage. It really takes courage to start being true to ourselves. And then this chapter talks about it, when people superimpose their view on you. It's amazing how when you try and stand up and discover what's true for you, which means you get a sense of what has meaning, what doesn't have meaning, what has purpose, what does not, what's wasting your time, what's a distraction, what brings a sense of fulfillment, and certain things you might do to get a high, but you'll have a massive low after that. So as you unravel yourself, it takes courage to make changes. And it's amazing how many people will resist and tempt you to not change or not grow. And it's like when, from my experience, when I was growing up, I had patches where I'd go on a big fitness binge where I'd just run lots and not drink and that sort of thing. And I'd catch up with a mate sometimes and they go, have one drink. And then if I had one drink, and usually I wouldn't, but if I had one drink, they were all happy and okay and good to go. Because it's like, if you're on the right track, you're always tempted to come back in and to stay with everyone else. It's amazing how the psyche actually is. So I think it's a great thing to be challenged when we decide we want something more, want to change, because that tests our resolve. And it's like you have to learn to stand up, and it's going to hurt, and you might fall a couple of times, but have the strength to stand up while everyone else is still kneeling, crouching, and struggling. It's a sense of empowerment. I had to bring up the mask because there are so many people I've spoken to that don't believe it and would don't want to wear the mask, over wearing the mask, but they're not fearing COVID. They're only wearing it because they don't want conflict and they just go along. And everything I'm about is standing up for, if you want to wear it, if you don't, then just don't, and get exemption if you need to. And I've got a stat deck saying that I'm not going on, I don't conform to the mandates because it's an agreement, a contract, as long as I agree and conform, and I don't. So I've got a few backups. This one, along with my control group, must not be vaccinated card, so which I know you have as well. So There are options, and it takes a little bit of effort. And I feel this is important because you have to earn the right to be free. So it takes effort. It does. If you can't be bothered, then what's the point? If you can't bother being free, being happy, finding meaning, you have to just decide to take the first step and make the effort towards freedom. So whatever that means to you. So I'm ranting a bit, but chapter six. Finding worth, be true to you. It starts with know it, feel it, live it. So our thinking can be a blessing in disguise. Our true test to what we think we know and what we truly know is in our freedom from our thoughts or our lack of attachment to our thoughts. When you have a true awakening moment, you will find no thoughts are able to capture you. They appear almost laughable. There is no interest in where they lead because deep within you, you know that all thoughts are void of any substance at all. This is a deep insight. It takes a lot to get to this potentially, but you just have to let go ultimately to what you think you know to grasp more understanding of yourself, because it's amazing, and we've spoken about this a lot, that when we justify our thoughts and we're suffering within our thoughts, then there's no freedom in that and we will continue to suffer. So to realize that all thoughts are void of any substance at all, that is major.
It's quite contradictory though beforehand. If we actually grasp what it's all about, it sounds quite contradictory.
Sounds confusing in a way. So to grasp, so it's hard. It's like, well, to grasp the truth, you have to let go of everything you think you know. So what are you actually grasping? Well, emptiness, it's common sense. It's something more. It's intuitive knowing that's ultimately extremely basic. It's so, and I've heard masters, and it's true, it's absolutely true, talk about this. It's so simple. Understanding truth, insight, it's so simple. It's right under your nose and no one knows it. But the things we talk about and the things we question and the questions I like to ask are things that's right under people's noses, but they don't think, I've never thought of that, or I don't know. Yet, even, you know, obvious one is what percentage of your thoughts are real. It's being open to the possibility, especially if you're suffering. Maybe you're misunderstanding something within yourself. If you go, no, there's no misunderstanding, I see clearly, yet I'm suffering, then why would you even give that any substance or credibility? Why would you even believe that? The greatest thing for me, like I've been, personally speaking, I've been in the philosophy for, even in my 20s, I was very philosophical. I didn't know much about spirituality, which they are very similar in a way, because it's, to me, philosophy is rooted in morals and ethics and honor and that sort of thing. And not that I've always carried those things within me. I've lashed out and done stupid things when I've suffered at times, and or when I was confused or didn't know where to turn, and as we all have. But it's the underlying principle that we invest in, you could say, within ourselves. So it was just obvious to me when I went to India and had a guru, and to see amazing beings and the peace in their eyes and how they carried themselves, how they spoke, and it's like they must know something I don't, because I don't feel like that. This was, you know, this started around 1999 to a deeper level for myself, and I went through massive suffering after that. But I was just blown away by these beings, like Gangaji being the first one I'd met. And I went, wow! Like, it's almost like people would think, what would you know? Like, I know. It's all about this. You don't know my situation. Like, but are you suffering? Yes. Then why wouldn't you be open to the possibility that maybe, just maybe, you're wrong? Maybe you're not all, everything you're stacking together. Maybe it all doesn't fit. Maybe it's on a not the best foundation based on your conditioning and experience. So it was absolutely obvious to me, even before I went to India, when I met these amazing beings. I went, wow, they know something I don't. I want to discover that. I need to keep digging deep within myself and try and discover, find a way into myself to discover that which these beings know. Rather than going, well, what would they know? They should take on my view and understand what I understand and be part of the real world. Okay, so they should believe what I believe and start suffering. When once they've suffered, they saw through the suffering, then I'll meet them and then they go, oh, no, you're right all along. Life is suffering and I'm going to take on your views, your values, your ideas. So I can immerse myself in suffering once again. And I'm passionate about this because all amazing spiritual beings, I believe, pretty much, well, not, you can't say all, but so many have suffered. And I've suffered and I'm not suffering. Someone can say, yes, you are. It's like, okay, like, how would you know?
Yeah.
And it's those that truly know me know we're like, we connect and we support each other, and like you and I, and we have other friends as well that are similar, like-minded. And my friends suffer the least out of people I know. And I have friends that do suffer as well. Everyone does to varying degrees. Well, I can't say that, but life will be challenging anyway. But it's like whoever's the angriest, loudest, most miserable comes into a room and says, this is how things truly are. Okay, one, take notes. This is how we're going to behave from here on, and we'll all be miserable, and this is the way.
Yeah.
It was just obvious to me that if they've suffered and I have suffered, and you can work through it, and you can. Anyone can that's willing. And you can at least minimize it, and then bit by bit walls break away and become more free. It just doesn't make sense once you take the veil off or the veil falls away, to put it back over your eyes and your feeling, to fall back into that. So those that are angry and justifying their way and saying everything's bullshit, you know, it's rubbish, it's like, how would you know? Like, have you tried? And if you wouldn't take on someone's view that's suffering. And I didn't see Gangaji in a tent going, wow, she's absolutely miserable. She must know something I don't, and she's suffering. She was so full of peace and love, like a moth to a flame. I was drawn in. I had to discover what that is. So the bottom line is, if you're suffering, or if you're not happy within yourself, or your life's not meaningful enough, you need to discover and unravel and find greater, healthier ways to think and feel. If you're suffering, it's not because what you think and feel is true. It's because you think and believe that what you think and feel is true. So when I say let go of what you think and feel to discover something more, even when you discover something more and you break free of some inhibitions or some idealistic ways that's creating suffering for you, you discover something more, be prepared to let that go as well. So always be ready to expand your viewpoint and see yourself more free every day. And this is really the point of this chapter. So we've all been challenged by others trying to firmly assert their views. And this is in part of the second chapter. So other people personally challenging what I say, think, and feel was my greatest lesson. So personally, we've all been through this. And I've had people guide me through their own fears or their own desires or what they want or what they're fearing. And it's all about control. And the greatest advice you can get from anyone is someone that's neutral, that's loving and caring for all beings, and that will give you things to consider. It's interesting. I spoke to my nephew, my amazing, beautiful nephew of a great family, and spoke to me, this is years ago. We have a great relationship. He's asking me some advice, and he's talking about other people had given him. And I said, a true teacher, the way I see it, will give you options, considerations, and then encourage you to decide which way is the best way to go forward, rather than say, you should do this, you should do that. And I don't tend to do that for anyone. And even since you've known me, I've never done that to you, have I? You should do this.
Yeah, no, not once.
Yeah, so I'll offer what I feel and it goes up to you. And then with certain things, or if it comes to certain teachings or insights or certain ceremonial type things or practices and things like that, some things, as you know, like I don't go around promoting, and I probably should. I have no money. But anyway, but I have freedom.
Yes, you do.
But I want people to be hungry. And as you know for yourself, I want people to be genuine. And it's not a matter of, oh, I'll teach you this and pay me some money. It's like, no, I want people to be hungry enough to do the work. There's a saying, Shanti Mai said this. She said certain tribal elders would say it's important enough to whisper. And that's the sentiment that I like to carry. So it's like, what do you mean by that? Well, if one's telling a story or giving insight and you're whispering, you're leaning in, you're paying attention, you have to be silent and really take on board and strain almost to listen. So you're really concentrating on the words. So it has deeper impact. But if I shout to the world, it's going, oh, it's loud, and they're blocking their ears and they're only taking half of what you say. So it's those that lean in, they're the ones you want to help. And those that aren't interested, you know, don't waste your time trying to convince those that believe they know the way, especially when they're suffering. And it's hard to differentiate because many people are suffering and a lot of people in relationships and a challenge left, right, and center. So how do you know who to believe or what to take on? Trust your intuition, your gut at all times, and be open to expand your view. I truly feel listen to those that aren't suffering and that are supportive, and they're not always easy to come by, but they're out there. Your intuition will guide you to where you need to go, I truly feel. And that will always be tested by fear and insecurities as well, which is a beautiful thing, really, because that tests your resolve. Everything has to be earned. So back onto the chapter, it says up until early 2012, Jackson's experience when confronted by strong idealistic women was to shut down mentally and emotionally during certain traumatic moments without even being able to access any cognitive thinking. I can relate to that. It's like at times when you feel controlled, if you feel like if someone's talking at you instead of understanding or listening to you, then they're superimposing their view. They're not really seeking to understand. They're just seeking to overlay their view on you. Then there's no room for argument, and I would just shut down emotionally, mentally. My mind would go foggy, be like brain fog. The great news is that that doesn't have to be permanent. As you start trusting your intuition, reflecting within yourself, that fog over a period of time can clear, and it can happen sooner than you realize. It starts with beginning to believe in yourself and making a choice that you want to start discovering the inner you, the real you. Not the scared, frail you, but the you that you can rely on, that can become empowered. Letting go, it's amazing, like letting go of your ideas, you don't lose your identity. It allows you to embrace your character and work on the great aspects of your character, because the negative aspects comes down to misunderstanding and false belief and anger, like reactions. All those things may lash out because you feel vulnerable or weak. So discovering the real you, letting go and discovering that aspect, really comes down to not losing your identity. You don't lose yourself, you find yourself. You are not your ideas. You're something way more than that. And you start cooperating with and supporting life. The only thing that's maintaining our suffering is our false beliefs and ideas. That is it. It's amazing. We'll read something and go, yep, bang, that's how it is. Or we'll suffer and we'll justify our suffering. Yep, that's how it is. We need to stop doing that. This chapter, Being True to You, is about encouraging yourself to discover how to do that and why to do that. Another paragraph, it says, softness is the way through for understanding. Really, can you change what another feels? The firmer you are, the more steadfast they become. Confidence, not stubbornness, immersed in heart through softness will slowly but effectively permeate their exterior. So what that's saying is confidently trusting yourself and being soft. Now, I've said many times, softness is the way. Softness is the way through in this conversation. This chapter, we're talking about letting go. The greatest way to do that, and that's amazing. When we're harsh or reactive or angry, we tend to be aggressive, we tend to be harsh, we tend to be, when we're cooking or in the kitchen, we're harsh with the plates, we bang, we make noise. The way to assist in us letting go is becoming softer, nurturing, moving slower, cooking slower, doing things slower, becoming gentle in your outer actions. And that will reflect inwardly, and inwardly will reflect outwardly. So a great way to discover yourself is to become gentle and slower when you're around home or when you're doing things. Just slow down. And a great thing this will offer you as well is if you're angry or agitated and you slow down, it can intensify. And you might have voices in your head saying, what are you doing, and bagging yourself. But just continue to nurture yourself. You need to lance and allow the negativity to pour out, and don't fall into it and swim in it and rub it all over yourself and saying, this is who I am. It's like when I went to India and I was at a temple, my very first satsang in India. And when the guru started talking, my mind was just swearing, cursing, and just shocking. And I don't typically swear. I rarely swear. And my mind was going off. And I didn't succumb to it. I went, okay. Instead of thinking, I've got to get out of here, my mind's going crazy. I thought, you know, straight away, it just came to me, this is exactly where I need to be. So I knew I had to lance a lot of misunderstandings and pain within me. And what a journey it was from that moment on. And intensified, but it revealed things because I was willing to see. This chapter talks about, as well, it goes into, you have nothing to prove. So by immersing yourself in softness, you will begin to release yourself of any guilt, burden, and frustrations as you nurture yourself that you tend to avoid and therefore not addressing in your day-to-day life. So slowing down will enable you to become aware of your thought processes and the automatic pilot or the automatic voices and the thing negativity within your mind that without awareness you fall into. So a great thing is to write those things down and nurture yourself and see through these things by questioning, how do I know for sure? And the other trap is that when you don't question these thoughts, you fall into the feeling, you start believing the feeling. So you must question your thoughts and your feelings if it doesn't serve you, which means it creates suffering. This chapter talks about people superimposing their views and gives you some insights into being soft and not arguing with them. It gives you insights into your situation and dealing with others. And the final paragraph just says, even if they love you, you may be on some level feeling a void within them, or so they would like at this time. They may even subconsciously try to keep you and others around for their safety and comfort. Although it may trap them into a self-defeating pattern that causes suffering, a sense of comfort may be felt purely because it is what they know, familiarity and conditioning. Ultimately, all self-defeating projections or patterns must be unraveled. So what this basically means is that in a relationship, people might be with you for their safety. They feel comfortable with you. And in their comfort zone, they might still try and control you. So they need you, but yet they're controlling you. So you must not blindly believe anything. You must discover it for yourself. And if you're in a relationship where someone's trying to control you, you must try and take time or have a place where love and softness is facilitated. If you speak to them, if you can, and just try and break the dynamic of the control and the expectations on one another. And this may mean that you take time for yourself where you can in a safe space to reflect and discover your true self-worth. So feel free to comment on any of this chapter if you're reading it, or if you'd like to know more about this chapter. But it's based on putting you in discovering a deeper sense of true worth. This leads us to chapter 7, Ebbs and Flow, Letting Go, which speaks about ways and the importance of letting go and the ebbs and flow of life. So thanks for listening into another episode of Awakenings and Life's Journey, chapter 6. Stay tuned for chapter 7. Thank you. Bye-bye.